Good morning. Glad to see you this morning. Glad that you have made it out today to worship God with us. Sunday is always a special day. It's not only special because of the people who we get to spend it with, it's special because of the God whom we get to worship today. If you will, turn your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 10. We're going to be looking at a passage in Psalm 10 in just a moment. The passage will also be on the screen behind me, but that'll be one of the first that we'll begin with this morning, Psalm 10. As you're turning there, I want to tell you a story about a boxer. They called him the boxing cowboy. His name was James Tillis. Back in the early 80s, James Tillis worked on a family farm, a family ranch in Oklahoma, and he started to box. And he got really good at it. And because of his lightning-fast hand speed, he adopted a nickname. They called him Quick. Quick Tillis. And so Quick Tillis decided that if he was going to further his boxing career, he needed to go to a bigger city. He needed to get out of Oklahoma and go somewhere bigger. And so he decided to go to Chicago. And so we left the ranch, a couple suitcases, got to Chicago. And he said in his autobiography, when he got out the bus in Chicago, he set his bags down and looked up at the big buildings of that city of Chicago. And he felt invincible. He looked up at those buildings and he said, I'm going to conquer this town. And then he said when he looked down, his bags were gone. Somebody stole his bags. That's how it feels for us sometimes, right? We feel like we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, right? That nothing can get to us. And then sometimes it seems that reality comes crashing in. And we find out we're not so invincible after all. And sometimes during those dark times, it seems as though God Himself is far away from us. And even though just a little bit before we could be thinking of ourselves as being able to conquer the world, now we wonder how we're even going to make it through the day. Things change, don't they, sometimes? Times get dark sometimes. And sometimes it seems as though God is very far away. Now, there are times when God is hidden, and it might even be our fault. In the book of Isaiah, God says that there are times when He Himself hides. God hides from sinfulness. He said, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Now, God spoke that through the prophet Isaiah to an apostate people, to people who were supposed to be His people, but were disobedient. And He wants them to know that I haven't moved. You've moved. You've moved away from Me. And sometimes we do that also. If God feels far away from us, we need to find out who is it that has moved. God is always in His rightful place, but sometimes we're the one who moves away from Him. But what about times when we haven't? Or at least as we've searched ourselves, it doesn't seem as though we've done anything wrong. And yet God still feels far away. What about other times? You know, Abraham was called the friend of God, wasn't he? And yet he went through long stretches where God didn't speak to him. And I'm sure that there are times during those stretches when he wondered, what about this promise of a son? What about this promise that you made to me? Where are you now? David, who's called a man after God's own heart, was very vocal in how sometimes he felt very alone. In Psalm 10, I ask you to turn there. In Psalm 10, David talks about this. In verse 1, he says, why do you stand afar off, O Yahweh? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? And that wasn't the only time when David felt far away from God or as though God had turned away from David. In Psalm 22, a passage that we looked at a verse from this morning, David says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. Now it seemed to David that there were times in his life when God did feel far away. And even though he voiced his pleas to God, where are you? Help me. It's evident that sometimes David still felt very alone. In Psalm 88, David says, David didn't write this, but the psalmist says, but I, O Yahweh, have cried out to you for help. And in the morning my prayer comes before you. O Yahweh, why do you reject my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? There are plenty of others that are along this vein where people cry out to God wondering, where are you? Where are you? And it's almost impossible that on any given day there isn't one among us who might feel that way as well. We struggle with things and we wonder if we're ever going to see the bright sunshiny days of good times again. And we know that maybe eventually they'll come, but still we struggle, don't we? We wonder, where is God? Has He hidden His face from me? I want you to think of something as we go through this lesson this morning. What seems to be might not be what actually is. For Abraham, he was still the friend of God. God hadn't forgotten His promise to Abraham, and He made sure that that promise came through. For David, David wasn't abandoned. And I want you to know that God has not abandoned you either. When it seems as though God is far from you, maybe He's really not that far after all. There are some things I think that can help us. When God seems hidden, when He's hidden from us, or at least seems that way, what are some things that we can do? One of the most important is to know that we can go to Him and talk to Him. We can speak our mind to God. Now, I don't mean when I say speak your mind to God that you are in any way disrespectful or irreverent to God. He is still God and you are not. But I do believe that God wants us to approach Him not only carefully, but also honestly. He wants us to know that He is an approachable God. If you're familiar with the book of Job, you know about the frustration that Job felt and the things that he suffered. And yet Job even felt that he could vent to God, that he could tell Him what was on his mind. In Job 7 and verse 11, Job said, "I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." Earlier in Job chapter 1 and verse 22, it tells us that Job was honest in the way he spoke, but yet in his words it says he did not sin, nor did he blame God. And that's important for us. Job felt that he could lay out his problems to God, that he could speak in the frustration that he was experiencing. But yet in all the ways that Job poured out his heart to God, it says he didn't sin and he didn't blame God. And that's important for us to recognize that we can come to God, that we can tell Him exactly what's on our mind, that we can unburden ourselves, as it were, with the frustration and the difficulty and the cloud of heaviness that comes from difficulties. We can lay that out before Him. Go with me for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 tells us to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Look at verse 7. It says you can cast your anxiety on Him. Casting has to do, at least partially, with unburdening yourselves. And it says that we can burden God with those things that burden us. We can cast our anxiety. Anxiety has to do with those things that pull you in a million different directions. And sometimes that's how our mind feels when we're going through some kind of difficulty or some trouble or some sorrow, something that's causing us to not focus properly on the things that we ought to. We're being tugged in 100 different directions and we need some focus. Verse 7 says you can cast your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. And that's key to doing this, to laying your troubles out before God, to telling Him is understanding that for one, He wants to help you. And two, He wants you to talk to Him, to tell Him. Yes, approach God carefully and reverently, but approach God honestly with your trouble. And as you do, remember this about Him. Remember that God's character doesn't change. God is not moody. He's not unpredictable. He doesn't play favorites. He is not fickle. God loves you. And He's shown it by sending His Son. And He wants the best for you. And best of all, He knows you. He knows your trouble. He knows the things that make you strong, and He knows the weaknesses that you're beset with. And He knows when the devil is playing on those weaknesses. He knows what you're made out of. And He knows the things that trouble you. I love how Psalm 103 puts it. Psalm 103 says, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so Yahweh has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust." I am so glad that we have a God who is higher than us. He is mightier than us. He is stronger than us. And yet He cares for us. And the fact is, sometimes God can do His best work through us when we recognize our weaknesses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, go there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians 12, the first several verses tell us about some things that Paul says he knew a man that had experienced. He might even be referring to himself, because Paul experienced some pretty lofty things through God. In verse 7, Paul says, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself." I'll stop there for a moment. Have you ever felt kind of like how Paul says he felt about himself sometimes? You have this wonderful relationship with God, and you feel like you're on top of the world. Things are going great. You're understanding Scripture. You've got this wonderful prayer life. You just feel good about your spirituality. And then something devastating occurs. Paul says it did to me. And he says in verse 8, "I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me." Now, if you're like me, you probably, when things are going difficult for you, you probably pray a lot more than three times. Probably all day long throughout the day, "Lord, help me with this. Help me with this. Help me. Why is this happening to me?" And that's a lot of what goes through our minds. Why me? Why now? Paul says, "I prayed three times that this thing might leave me." Look at his answer. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The idea, at least in part of this, is to recognize how utterly dependent Paul was on the strength of the Lord to get him through. And that translates to us, doesn't it? We've got to recognize that we're the weak ones. God is the strong one. And because God is the strong one, we can lean on Him. We can rely on Him. We can depend on Him to help us when our weaknesses begin to show through. Paul didn't initially appreciate this thorn in the flesh for what it was. He says, I prayed three times that this would leave me. I couldn't see what good this difficulty that I was undergoing could possibly have for me. But then he realized that there was something in it, that there was opportunity in it. There was an opportunity to experience the grace of God. And he says, "If that's what it means for me, then I'm all for weaknesses and insults and distresses and persecutions. Because then it gives God a chance to work through me. Because when I am weak, then I am strong." Why? Because we can't help but depend on the God who promises to help us in these difficulties. And even if you continue to suffer, and it seems as though that light at the end of the tunnel just seems to get further and further and further away the more you go into that tunnel, still you can know this: God is who He always is. God is always who He says He is. And if He says, "I care about you and I can help you through this," then God cares about you and God can help you through this. But as you're thinking about what you're going through, think about this also. Remember what God has already done for you. You know, Cheryl likes to tell me that I have selective memory. Maybe that's a guy thing. But sometimes we can all have short memories, can we? Especially when we're going through difficulty, when we're going through hard times, it's not hard to remember other hard times. We seem to dwell on the cloud of darkness that just has settled upon us. And we wonder, when is this ever going to end? We start to ask ourselves things like, why is it always like this for me, right? We seem to think that trouble is just our lot in life. Will it ever get better? What we fail to remember is how good God has been to us at other times. And when we're going through difficulty, it seems that those are the hardest times to remember, the good and sunshiny times, because we can't see sunshine. We can't see where there's light at the end of that proverbial tunnel. But those are the times that we need to remember God's goodness to us most of all. He says through his servant James in James 1 and verse 17 that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Now, there's a couple of things in this passage. One is the fact that God doesn't change. He's not fickle. God is not like a shadow which changes depending on whatever way the wind blows. He is good always. And the gifts that he gives are good and perfect. The gifts of salvation are unrivaled, aren't they? I mean, think about it. What's the alternative? Eternal condemnation? But what has he provided? Life in his Son. I mean, even the lives that we live, sometimes when we're going through hardship, food doesn't taste right. The comfortable luxuries that we surround ourselves with don't seem to matter all that much. And yet those are gifts from God as well. God gives every good and perfect gift, whether it's a physical material gift or a spiritual gift. God is the giver of every good thing, and God is the one who has originated all those good things for you. And when we're going through hard times, those are the times that we need to remember just how good God has been to us. The Father that allows you to mature through hardship and difficulty is the same Father that blesses you every single day of your life. He is the God who loves you. And He's the one who you've got to remember that all the good comes from. We just sang a song a few moments ago, Precious Memories. Verse 3 reminds us that we need to recall the good that God does for us. That's what that whole song is all about. In verse 3 of Precious Memories, I'm going to try to say this without singing it. As I travel on life's pathway, know not what the years may hold. As I ponder, hope grows fonder. Precious memories flood my soul. I don't know what you might be struggling with this morning, but as I look out, it's impossible that there isn't someone here who was going through some difficulty in your life. And you may be wondering, will I ever see good days again? How long is this dark episode of my life going to take? Will it ever be lifted? Think back. When you felt like this at some time prior in your life, and that cloud was lifted. As I ponder, hope grows fonder. Why? Because we serve a God of hope. We serve a God who reminds us again and again and again that I love you, and I'm giving this to you, or I'm allowing it to happen to you as an opportunity for you to be made stronger and better. Of course, we don't usually think of those things when we're going through the difficulty, right? Oh, yay, I'm going through a hard time. I get to get stronger for the Lord. That's not usually what we think about. What we think about is, why me? Why this? Why now? And all the time, God says, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. We need to remember Him and the good that He does. As I ponder, hope grows fonder. Precious memories flood my soul. Memories of God's goodness, His blessings, and how much He cares for us need to flood our souls, especially at those difficult times. Even if, for some reason, your life never got better, even if whatever dark cloud you're under is your lot in life from now on, you can know this. God still has demonstrated His love for you. Jesus has still offered Himself as a sacrifice for your soul. And heaven still waits for those who love Him and trust Him. And so love Him and trust Him to keep His promises. Know that what He says He will do, He will do. When life is demanding and challenging and problems beset us and we don't know how we're going to get through those, we need to keep faith and trust, especially during the times when it is most difficult to keep faith and trust. Because you know what? The devil likes it when you doubt. He uses that time when you are most vulnerable to needle you and needle you and needle you and try to get you to think that somehow God is holding out on you. That He will never bless you again. You don't deserve it anyway, He wants you to think. He wants you to think that there is no God out there who loves you and wants to bless you. No, the devil loves it when you go through difficulties. The devil loves it when you lose faith and trust in God, because then he can really get his hooks in you and he can do everything that he can to make you turn from him. But don't. Circumstances don't for a moment change who God is. And they certainly don't change His promises towards you. Think about what the Hebrew writer said for a moment in Hebrews 13 and verses 5 through 6. He says, keep your life free from money. Now that's a big concern for a lot of us, right? It's a big source of worry for a lot of us. He says, don't worry about it so much. Be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Or what can man or man's circumstances do to us? No, they can anger us. They can frustrate us. They can discourage us. They can make us downright depressed. And they can cause us to wonder if we're ever going to see those good times again. What can man do to us? Man can go as far as to kill us. But I'll tell you something that man and circumstances cannot do. Man and circumstances cannot take away the promises that God has made to you. Now, you can turn from those promises. You can remove them from yourself. But there isn't a man or a circumstance around us that can make God turn from His faithfulness to us. What can man do to me? Ultimately, nothing. What can God do for me? Ultimately, everything. This is the great promise from God Himself. And this is something that I think Job understood. In the middle of his book, as he was going through these difficulties, and he was considering that God is always one to be trusted. Job said in Job 13, he says, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And I don't know if there's anyone here who was going through some difficulty, certainly not like what Job had gone through. Lost everything, as he had lost everything. And it doesn't matter when we're going through those things, does it? All we know is that we're going through those things. All we know is that this is my dark time. And instead of assimilating ourselves more and more with others who can help us through those things, we begin to isolate ourselves more and more. And we begin to hide ourselves from God and think that it's God who hides from us. Though He slay me, yet I will trust in Him. I said before, I don't know what you're going through. But I know that there are some here who are going through something. Think about these things this morning. Whatever you go through, know that God is the same God who makes those promises to you, and He loves you. Know that God is the God who says, you can depend on me. Know that God is the God who says, no matter what man does to you, no matter what circumstances may seem to dump on you, you can trust me. You can turn to me. You can tell me all about it. And you can trust me to help you through it. We're going to stand and sing a song in a moment. And I want you to think that when you feel abandoned by God, when you feel as though for some reason He has hidden Himself from you, remember what I said earlier? Things are not always what they seem. It's always opportunity to grow stronger. But even more than that, it's opportunity to draw nearer to God. As we sing the song in just a moment, perhaps there's someone here this morning who needs the strength and the help that God offers to them. You need to begin by being His child, and you can do that this morning. If there's someone here who has not become a Christian, you can turn from your sin and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you've done that and you're undergoing some difficulty in your life that makes you think as though God has hidden His face from you, we want to help you. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. We want to wrap ourselves around you as much as we can and let you know that there is help. Can we do that? Now's your time. Come now, please, while we stand and sing.